Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program this morning. Hope that everything is getting off to a good start for you today, that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping the God of Heaven on this first day of the week. We invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're anywhere in the Athens area, we meet this morning at 9 o'clock for a Bible study and a worship assembly. We'd love to have you come and be with us, honor the God of Heaven, study His Word with us, and just get to know us as we share our faith. If you're not able to be out in person this morning, you can check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, or look at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming there. But again, come out and be with us in person if you can. We'd love to have the opportunity to worship with you today at Eastside. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul has been talking in the book of Romans about all that God has done to save us. And then in Romans 12 and verse 1, he issues a really significant challenge to us. He says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." The challenge before us, according to Paul, as a result of all that God has done for us by His mercies, He has sent His Son to die for us. Before He died for us, He showed us how we're supposed to live in this world, how to live the kind of life that God created us to live. And then He died for us because we haven't lived that kind of life. Then He rose from the dead, and He ascended to heaven to be our intercessor, to enable God to forgive us of our sins through the blood that He shed when He died on the cross for us. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus has done for us, that God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, for us, so that we can live an abundant life here on earth and have hope of eternal life with God in heaven after this life is over. So what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 12, because Jesus has done all of that for us, we should give our lives for Him. We should be living for Him. In fact, in living for Him, we become what God wants us to be to begin with. And so He will tell us in verse 2, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need to be different people than we have been. We need to be the kind of people God truly created us to be, and we can be that through Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is challenging us to be and to become. So notice this phrase, though, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We are keenly aware that the thoughts that occupy our minds are critical to the process of transformation. Nobody's ever going to change the way they live or the person that they are if they don't think differently, if they don't change their thinking. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes in verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." See, the things that we think about, those are critical to who we are. In the Psalms, in Psalm 51 and verse 6, David says to the Lord, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." We need to have truth within us. Our minds need to be occupied with truth if we're going to be pleasing to a God who Himself is the definition of truth. But how can we have truth within us if we allow ourselves to entertain words and images which are not the truth? You see, lies and things that aren't true conform us to the world, into creatures of darkness. Believing a lie was the first human mistake, and it will be the last and greatest mistake of many people. You remember in the Garden of Eden? What did Eve do? Well, she ate of the tree. Everybody knows the story, right? But do you remember why she ate of the tree? The serpent said to the woman, after he'd asked her, "Has God said you can't eat of any of the fruit?" She'd said, "Well, God said you can eat of any of the fruit except for the fruit of this tree that's in the midst of the garden, because in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die." The serpent said to the woman in Genesis 3 and verse 4, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And Eve believes the lie. She is deceived. She thinks that the truth is error, and that error is truth. Her belief in a lie causes her to do that which God commanded her not to do. She gives the fruit also to her husband, Adam. He eats of it also. And so sin enters the world because Eve believed a lie. Over in the New Testament, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul there speaks of unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I want you to get what Paul is saying there and what we're learning. If we're going to be transformed into the kind of creatures God created us to be, if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds must be occupied with truth. We must love the truth. If we don't love the truth, we're not going to be changed into what God wants us to be. If we reject the truth, if we choose to believe a lie, if we have more pleasure in doing wrong than in knowing what's right, we'll never be what God created us to be. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4, the apostle there says, "This I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words." The English Standard Version there says, "plausible arguments." There are a lot of people in this world today who are being deceived by plausible arguments. There's a lot of information out there in the world today, whether in news media, on social media, on the internet, whatever it might be. A lot of information out there that sounds plausible, sounds like it could be right. And so people are deceived into thinking that certain things are true or that aren't true at all. We have so many conspiracy theories floating around. We have people saying things that are the exact opposite of what the truth is about so many different things. And we need to remember that believing a lie will turn us into something that we don't want to be and may cause us to behave in ways that we really don't want to behave. But believing the lie is what the motivation is and is what's wrong with us. It's what we need to correct in order to be transformed. Some of you may remember a movie entitled The War of the Worlds. In fact, there's been more than one movie made entitled The War of the Worlds or based on a fictional work by H.G. Wells. And the story basically was that the Earth was being invaded by Martians who quickly sweep across the globe and wipe out human defenses, and they take over the planet in no time at all. But in the end, they're destroyed by germs, which humans had immunity to, but which the Martians did not. This fictional story, The War of the Worlds, has been adapted, as I said, several times into films, notably into one radio program in September of 1938. The world was pretty tense at that time. Hitler was doing a lot of saber-rattling in Europe, and Americans were really beginning to listen to radio quite a bit in their homes. Radio was really popular, and there were a number of regular shows that families loved to tune into. One of those shows was the Mercury Theater radio play. Orson Welles had that program, and he decided to air a adaptation of The War of the Worlds. He made it seem like it was a real news story. So they were playing music on the radio, but in between the music, there would be breaking news that was actually fake news. It was all a part of the play, a play about Martians invading the Earth as if it were the real thing. And many people believed that it was the real thing. And based on believing something that wasn't true, they changed their behavior, radically so. People packed the roads. They hid in cellars. They loaded guns. They even wrapped their heads in wet towels to protect themselves from the Martian gas that was supposed to be scattered all over the Earth. In an attempt to defend themselves against aliens, listeners were actually oblivious to the fact that they were acting out the role of the panic-stricken public that belonged to the radio play. People were stuck in a kind of virtual world in which fiction was confused for fact. The reaction of the American people to that broadcast of The War of the Worlds back in 1938 vividly illustrates that what we believe can affect how we behave. The truth transforms us, but so can lies. And if we believe lies, we'll be transformed into people who are serving the father of lies, who, according to Jesus, is Satan himself. Real transformation, transformation into Christ-likeness, into what God wants us to be and has created us to be. That kind of real transformation comes through the truth of God's Word. Loving God's truth is what brings new life. Psalm 119 and verse 159 The psalmist says, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." The word translated revive there, revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness, it means to quicken or give life or make alive again. We are renewed, we are transformed by God's word, which is truth and which gives new life. Peter says something very similar, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, when he says that since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God is that which is the seed of our change. We have new life through God's word because it's the truth. And when we obey the truth, as Peter describes it in this passage, we are born again through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Life-changing truth, then, is embodied in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is truth. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In John chapter 1, as the Apostle John is introducing Jesus as the Word of God, the very one who expresses God to us, John 1 and verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was filled with truth. In verse 17 of John 1, he says that the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the communication of God and the communication of God's truth to humankind. Jesus is the one who declares God's truth to us. The truth in Jesus, then, is what transforms us. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 describes this process of transformation by the truth of Jesus in a really wonderful way, and he gets into quite a bit of detail. If you're at home and you have your Bible, you might want to turn over there with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be noticing this context where Paul describes this great transformation process of which truth is the critical component, truth that is in Jesus. Here's what he says, Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm in verse 21. He's talking to the Ephesians about having heard of Jesus and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's Ephesians 4:21. As the truth is in Jesus, you've been taught this, he says. These Ephesians, they were Christians. They'd been transformed by the truth that is in Jesus. And then he describes that transformation that should have taken place, and if it hasn't, it needs to take place. He says, "That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." So in order to be transformed, we have to put off our old person. We can't be that old person anymore. We must put that off. We must do away with that. That was following deceitful lusts, that was believing lies, that was living in lies. Lies told us by Satan, lies told us by the world. We must put that person off and accept the truth that is in Jesus. Truth that is in Jesus. Be renewed, he says, in the spirit of your mind. When truth that is in Jesus is allowed to be received into our minds and accepted and believed, that's when real change begins. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here is that description of the new man and how it is created. It receives the truth that is in Jesus. It turns away from deceitful lusts, the things that we hear in the world, the things that Satan wants us to believe, all of the different fake news and false ideas that are surrounding us in our culture all the time. We put that off. We do away with believing that, and we turn to Jesus for the truth because he is the truth and truth is in him. In Ephesians chapter 4 then and verse 25, as we pick up the reading, there the apostle says, "Therefore, putting away lying, each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." What Paul is going to do here in the next few verses is describe in some particular details what it looks like when a person's transformed, when his mind has been changed by the truth that is in Jesus, then his behavior will be changed as well. He'll be doing things differently because truth transforms us. A person who's been transformed by truth is not going to speak lies. He's not going to repeat lies that, you know, have been given to him or told to him. That's not going to happen. What happens, unfortunately, in our culture quite a bit is that people accept things that aren't true. They repeat them as if they are true. Others believe them, and it just goes on and on. But somebody who's been changed by the real truth in Jesus is going to be careful not to repeat lies. He's going to speak the truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. In the world, we're told that anger is a justification for a lot of sins, for cursing, for violence, for misbehavior of all kinds. But the Christian knows, the person who's been transformed knows that anger is no excuse for sin. We can be angry, but we're not to sin. We're not to give place to the devil. We're not to allow the devil to get control of us because we're mad about something. That's the truth. In verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And so somebody who has been changed by the truth that's in Jesus is not going to take other people's things, not going to cheat others through lies and misrepresentations about a product that you're selling or about work that you were to have done, maybe that you didn't do up to quality or whatever it might be. You're just not going to steal from others on any basis. And rather than stealing from somebody else, rather than cheating somebody else, you're going to labor with your own hands and do honest work, not just so that you can have something for yourself, but so that you can have something to give to others. That's the transformed life. That's a person who's been transformed by the truth that's in Jesus. A person that's been transformed by the truth that's in Jesus is, in verse 29, going to let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Truth transforms us to speak things that are good and right and wholesome. No corrupt word will proceed out of the mouth of a person whose mind has been transformed by the truth that is in Jesus. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So all of this hatred and vitriol and tension and division that we have today, that's so prevalent in our country, that's so common in our society, where we can't even engage in civil discourse, hardly about anything. None of that is the truth that is in Jesus. We need to be transformed. We are a nation of people that needs to be transformed by the truth that is in Jesus. We need to look at our Bibles and see what the scriptures have to say about how Christians are supposed to behave, how God created us to be like his son, not like the people in the world around us that we see who've listened to the lies of Satan about what life is supposed to be like and how they're supposed to live. So here in Ephesians chapter 4, we see this great description of how the transformed life occurs, accepting the truth that is in Jesus, and then how that applies in several areas of our lives. You see, the truth of God's word works in us to change us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul is thankful for the Thessalonians. Their lives were certainly changed. They had turned away from idolatry and all sorts of wicked living to serve the living God. He says to them, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which works effectively in you who believe. So that brings us to a really critical point in our study this morning. We've been talking about being transformed by the renewing of our minds, which involves accepting truth into our minds. We've seen how that works. The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in God's word. That must be accepted into our minds. It must be believed, and that will change us. But that brings us to this critical point. We must desire God's word, because it is God's word that will fuel our transformation. We want to be changed. We want to be what God created us to be. We want to have fulfillment in this life and hope for the life to come. We must desire the word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16, the Apostle Paul there writes about the value of God's Word, His Scriptures. He says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The Scriptures can fulfill us. The Scriptures make us complete. The Scriptures are God's Word, just as Jesus is God's Word. Jesus left us the Scriptures through His apostles and prophets. We have His very words given through the Holy Spirit to His apostles and prophets that we can go to show us how to live, to show us what to teach, to show us what to believe and do, how to live a right life, a transformed life. To become like Jesus, we must fill our lives with His Word, the Word found in Scriptures. The Bible says that through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. That's what we're being told here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word frees us from the bondage of sin. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31 to the Jews that believed in Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Bible, you see, was not given merely to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. Spiritual growth is the process of replacing lies with truth, truth that is found in God's Word, in the Scriptures. It's not enough just to believe the Bible. You need to fill your mind with it, to fill your life with it. That's why you should consider it as essential to your life as food is. Job said in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, "I have treasured the words of His mouth more than my daily bread." Most of us like to eat food pretty regularly. How much do we like to study God's Word, the Bible? How much time do we spend looking into what the Scriptures say, letting God's truth fill our minds just as food fills our stomachs? Job said, I treasure the words of God's mouth more than my daily bread, more than my daily food. It's more important to him to take God's Word into his mind than to take food into his belly. Jesus said something pretty similar in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when he said that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what we have in Scriptures. We have God's Word. It's what we need to be taking into us and feeding ourselves on a regular basis. God's Word is spiritual nourishment. You must have it to fulfill your purpose and God's purpose for you. In the Bible, God's Word is sometimes compared to milk or bread, solid food, sweet dessert. It is God's menu for spiritual strength, growth, and transformation. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Peter advises us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." One translation says, "Crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation." You know, babies, they seem to be hungry a lot, don't they? And they'll let you know when they are hungry. They really desire that food. And so it is that we need to be desiring spiritual food. Just like newborn babies desire milk, we should desire the pure milk of the Word and desire it with intensity, even as a baby does. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul there says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Is the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly? Or is your bank account pretty empty as far as the Word is concerned? The Eastside Church of Christ is all about encouraging people to fill their lives, fill their minds with the Word of God so that they might be transformed, to turn people away from believing lies and to believing the truth that is found in God's Word. We want you to be saturated with God's Word in your mind and in your life. To whatever degree you're willing to do that, we're willing to help you. Our assemblies and Bible classes at Eastside are just completely saturated with God's Word. We use the Bible as the basis for everything we do. We have Bible classes available for all ages, 9 o'clock this morning and again, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. Great Bible class teachers teaching God's Word. We're going through studying the entire Bible together. We're in the book of Acts now in our study through the entire Bible. Come and be with us for that Bible study. Or you can go online and sign up for a free Bible correspondence course. We have several Bible correspondence courses available. You can take through the regular mail or online. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. You can click on the Study from Home banner and select from courses that cover the Gospel of Mark or the Book of Acts, or one course that goes through the entire Bible narrative in just 13 lessons. It's an overview of the Bible. Another course is entitled Jesus the Way. It tells you all about Jesus and how he came to save us. That's a 7-lesson course. But that's a great way to fill your mind with the truth of God's Word. We also have available on our website audio and video recordings of the sermons that are preached at Eastside, as well as the Bible classes, many of the Bible classes that are taught here, which contain a wealth of information from God's Word. So we invite you to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. Come visit us in our Bible classes, our assemblies, however we can help you dig deeper into God's Word and fill your mind with it. The thing is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is truth, and it can be trusted as truth. The Ephesians that Paul writes to in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, they had done that. They also trusted, it says, after they'd heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, they believed and they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what we're all wanting to do. That's what we want you to do, to trust in God, trust in his word, believe it, and be changed forever by it. Galatians 2 and verse 5, Paul speaks of the truth of the gospel. The gospel is true through and through, and those who believe it and obey it are true through and through as well. You know, hypocrisy is contrary to truth. In fact, in our world today, it is truth's chief enemy. I believe there are many people who present themselves as one thing and they're actually something else. The Bible describes that as hypocrisy. When people point fingers at others, when they themselves are guilty of the same thing that they're pointing out in others, that's hypocrisy, and those people aren't true. They're not true people. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, "You are inexcusable, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things." That is inexcusable, but we see it a lot in the world today, don't we? It's not the truth. Paul goes on to say, Romans 2 and verse 2, "We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things." That's God's judgment against those who accuse others of doing the very things that they themselves are guilty of. We need to fill our minds with the truth. We need to believe and accept what is true. In Psalm 15 in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist asks this rhetorical question. He says, "Who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." Are you speaking the truth in your heart because you have God's truth in your heart? And you may answer, "Well, sure, preacher, I've known the truth all my life. I've studied the Bible since I was a kid. I know what the Bible says." Well, maybe you do, and that's great if you do. Keep on filling your mind and your thoughts and your heart with Scripture. But let me ask you one more question. Do you trust the truth that you know is in Scripture more than what people say, more than what the news media tells you or you read on social media or you hear on the radio or whatever it might be? What do you trust? What are you living by? What are you guiding your words and actions by? Is it the truth of God's Word that you found in Scripture, or something that's fake truth? Something that is pretending to be truth that Satan is using to lead people astray. I think all of us need to examine our hearts, our minds, and our behavior to make sure that it's God's truth that we are trusting so that we can walk the way that leads to life.